It's Friday, the 8th of May, day 48. Here's a strange question. What if the government ended the lockdown and declared the economy open for business, and nobody came? This is beginning to be a real question in the United States. Donald Trump, seeing his chances of re-election dwindling with every day that the pandemic keeps people at home and businesses closed, is frantically exhorting citizens to come out of their burrows and go to work. "I'm viewing our great citizens of this country to a certain extent and to a large extent as warriors," he said the other day. "They're warriors. We can't keep our country closed. We have to open our country." But it turns out, says David Graham of The Atlantic magazine, that most Americans are not eager to think of themselves as warriors anymore. On the contrary, a poll from the Washington Post and the University of Maryland found that 8 in 10 Americans oppose reopening cinemas and gyms. 3/4 don't support letting sit-down restaurants and nail salons reopen. And 1/3 or less would allow barbershops, retail stores, and even gun shops to operate. And another opinion poll last week found similar numbers. 9 in 10 Americans don't think sporting events should have crowds without more testing. 85% would keep schools closed, and 80% would keep sit-down restaurants shut. And interestingly, there was no significant difference in views between residents of states that have begun loosening restrictions and those that have not. This is really interesting. The disunited states is the most polarized democracy on earth at the moment. And yet on one issue, its citizens appear to be united. They don't want to go out if they can help it until this monster is tamed. I wonder if this thought will be in Boris Johnson's mind this weekend, as he ponders whether and if the lockdown should be relaxed. It's clear that there's a real and understandable longing to be released from this strange kind of house arrest. We all feel it in one way or another. We are lucky enough to have a garden, and my wife and I have been having supper outside quite a lot in the last week. And as we do so, we find ourselves thinking wistfully how nice it would be to invite our kids and their partners to join us for a barbecue and a natter, just like we used to do at this time of year in the olden days, before the plague. On the other hand, however much we might like the idea of going abroad, most of us would now think twice about embarking on a 90-minute spell in an aluminium tube and breathing the same air with 90 other souls. Or going to a cinema, or shopping for clothes in a bricks-and-mortar store, or conducting a teaching seminar with 15 students in an airless seminar room. We're supporting a local restaurant that has had to close, but is trying to stave off disaster by offering a limited range of takeaway meals. So we turn up on our bikes and take away some delicious food. But it's clearly second best, and we look forward to the day when we can turn up, get a table, order a drink, and peruse a menu that's back to its pre-pandemic length and complexity. But even then, we'll want to sit outside on the terrace at a table which is 2 meters from any other. So one of the things the government has to recognize is that this experience has changed people. They have discovered things they didn't realize they knew. How pleasant it is going for a daily walk or a cycle, for example, rather than racing to get in a frantic hour in an expensive gym. How nice it is not to have to commute to work, even if having endless Zoom conferences isn't all that great either. How satisfying it is to have time to sort out the garden or grow tomatoes. How nice it is to have time to read properly. And so on, ad infinitum. So when the economy opens up again, whenever that happens, businesses will find that many of their customers will have changed, some of them quite a lot. They will have some different priorities and some different expectations. This pandemic has been the biggest shock to the system since the Second World War, and we're all part of the system. As is the Prime Minister. One of the most interesting questions, for me anyway, is whether his near-death experience has actually changed him. Up to this point, he has spent his entire life being reckless and getting away with it. He nearly didn't get away with his most recent bout of recklessness. And as he ponders the options for easing the lockdown this weekend, Will he discover the caution that real prime ministers have always had? Stay tuned.